The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Independent Senator and former Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has spoken out for the first time since President Joe Biden announced his decision not to run for a second term. Now, just last week, the senator had doubled down on his support for Biden, arguing that eliminating him from the Democratic presidential ticket would do a lot more harm than good. Last night, he was asked by CNN's Anderson Cooper if he was going to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris.
Well, I'm sure that I will, but I want to just chat with her, and I want to make sure. Look, this is a consequential campaign. It is, you know, when we talk about the future of the planet and climate change, you know, we have to make sure that we elect the vice president. When we talk about economic rights, we got to make sure that we elect the vice president. I just want to make sure that her campaign understands that for too many people in this country, when they look at Washington, D.C., they feel ignored, they feel insulted, that people are not understanding what is going on in their lives. Life expectancy for working class people is 10 years shorter than it is for the rich. And working class people want a government that represents them and not corporate America. And I just want to make sure that the vice president, as I am sure she will be, will stand up strongly with an agenda that speaks to the long neglected needs of working families. And if she does that, she's going to win and win big.
And that's Senator Bernie Sanders talking last evening. What about the candidate herself? What will her approach to the campaign be?
You know, as many of you know, before I was elected as vice president, before I was elected as United States Senator, I was the elected Attorney General, as I've mentioned, of California. And before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type. And in this campaign, I will proudly put my record against his. So in the next 106 days, we have work to do. We have doors to knock on. We have people to talk to. We have phone calls to make. And we have an election to win.
Well, can she do it? That is the question. Professor Brendan O'Leary from the University of Pennsylvania is joining me now, Professor of Political Science at that university. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. It's an honour to be on your show.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. So she started well in the sense that she was not over-enthusiastically viewed by many of the Democratic Party, but the funds have flown in and the endorsements have flown in.
Yes, it's quite astonishing. Within 48 hours, she has a majority of the delegates, both the delegates from each of the states who voted in the primaries and a majority among superdelegates. So in effect, the contest is over. Nobody has announced that they're going to stand against her. You're right. She has enormous endorsement from money. She's managed to collect already twice what Biden had collected in the course of his campaign, particularly from small donors. I don't have any doubt that this will energize the ranks of the Democratic Party, particularly the young.
Now, the question of her partner, whoever it might be, is going to be chosen on the basis of some political advantage. In other words, to swing one of the swing states. So we know that Donald Trump kept it in his own heart. I don't know if he even talked to anybody in selecting J.D. Vance. Will Kamala Harris do the same kind of thing, or will she consult with the senior people in the Democratic Party?
It would be astonishing if she didn't consult. I think she'll have to make a very quick decision, given that there's just over 100 days to go. And her choices, I believe, are rather narrow. The most plausible choices are to pick a governor in a swing state, somebody who's popular in their own state. And that narrows down to Josh Shapiro of my own state of Pennsylvania, Mark Kelly of Arizona, and Roy Cooper of North Carolina. That's if she goes for a governor. She might choose a serving cabinet member, such as Pete Buttigieg. I think it's unlikely that she'll choose another woman candidate to run with her. To absorb a female president is one thing. To absorb a female president and vice president might be considered a little risky. So I think she's likely to go for a man, and I think she's likely to go for a governor. Which one? I don't know.
Now, it's also suggested that she might have to go for, first of all, a man, second of all, a white man, and third of all, a white man with military service, because J.D. Vance, in spite of Trump having no military service, having dodged the draft back in the days of the Vietnam War, J.D. Vance has had a good military career.
I don't deny that. It's plausible that Mark Kelly of Arizona fits the picture, if that's what Harris decides. He's a former NASA pilot. He's got combat experience as a veteran, and he's been very successful in Arizona, which is a swing state. He won against the odds his re-election, having first of all won in a by-election there. So Kelly is a plausible character.
He also has the advantage with a name like Kelly. No doubt we'll be rushing around to find where his ancestors
right.
came
the
from.
The one thing the Irish can be certain of is that Kamala Harris is not related to Richard Harris, and she's unlikely to be turning up at a graveside with an Irish ancestor.
Now, the shape of the campaign, there's no doubt that the Republicans were relishing a campaign against Biden. His frailties were all too evident, even though I think people who were talking about him yesterday, you know, he was fine and dandy yesterday, but the intermittent nature of his frailties being exposed rendered him a brilliant target for the abuse of Donald Trump. What is the Trump approach to Kamala Harris likely to be? A woman of color, a woman, of course. Misogyny might raise its head, and he has to be careful about racial slurs.
All very good points, Pat. I think the first thing is that the boot will now be firmly on the other foot. Trump's cognitive failings are increasingly apparent. There's incoherence in his speeches at the long rallies that he holds. He recently went on a riff about Hannibal Lecter that I don't think anybody understood. He's already frightened about participating in a debate with her. He's indicated that he thinks that the whole switch is a fraud. He's asking for reimbursements. This is if you look at his social media account. So I think they are worried about the switch. It's a big danger for him. If he decides to go all out on sexism and racism, targeting Harris in both respects, that could undermine the small degree of progress he's made among blacks and Hispanics. So he's got to take great care. Taking great care is not one of Donald Trump's characteristics. So I think they're confronted with a problem. They weren't expecting this at all. And I think their messaging on Kamala Harris in the last year or so has been rather incoherent. They can't make up her mind whether she's an intelligent, manipulative supervillain or whether she's some kind of ditzy, incompetent diversity, equity, and inclusion appointment. That's their racial language for suggesting that she's overpromoted. So they've got to decide, is she stupid or smart and evil? And they haven't really decided yet.
From her point of view, what are her lines of attack? I mean, will she attack the convicted felon, even as he appeals against such a conviction? Will she attack his sexual predation, which, of course, he's got a civil conviction in that regard, and his famous remark, of course, about grabbing women by their private parts? All of this, is it fruitful for her to take that route?
I think it's unavoidable that she will take that route. She is a past prosecutor. Trump is exactly as she suggested in the category of people that she used to prosecute. He's a financial scammer, a fraudster. And of course, he has been convicted in effect of sexual predation. We'll see, what, albeit in a civil court. So I think that will certainly be part of her brief. I don't think that the team will abandon the entirely plausible argument that Trump is a threat to democracy. That will be part of her theme. She will be strong on revisiting all of Trump's denialism over his participation in the attempted insurrection last time round. So that will certainly be part of the campaign, but it can't just be that. It's clear that she starts with similar net in unfavorability ratings to Trump. And what their team will be trying to do is, first of all, to energize and increase the Democratic turnout, and then perhaps to win over the small number of undecideds and don't knows. And I think if she conducts herself with dignity and clarity and performs well on public occasions, I think she'll have a great chance. Beauty versus the Beast will be the typical media representation, I think.
And they will presumably, on the Democratic side, try to hang Project 2025 firmly around Trump's neck.
Absolutely. For Irish listeners who may not be familiar with the project, it's a series of very right-wing plans to dismantle the impartial federal civil service, the role of experts there, and to replace them with partisan Republican loyalists. That's just part of the plan. A whole range of other things follow. I think she'll be focusing on Project 25, and I think in a way that will be far more compelling than Joe Biden could be. She will be an advocate for women's rights, particularly the right to abortion, which is genuinely popular across the whole of the United States, and it's a disadvantage for Trump. He tries to equivocate on the subject, though he appointed the Supreme Court that notoriously overturned Roe versus Wade. So that will be one of her strong points.
In terms of her vulnerabilities, is it her work, which didn't seem to be terribly successful on the border, the southern border? Is that what he'll try to batter her with?
Right. I think that's a liability for all Democrats. And I think it will be important for Harris to indicate vigorous commitment to preventing illegal immigration and to addressing how to deal with those who are currently illegally present in the United States. One of the reasons for thinking of Mark Kelly as a vice presidential candidate is he's from Arizona, where many of the illegal crossings take place, and Kelly has a strong record in supporting policies that work to prevent illegal migration. So you're right to point out that that will be a difficulty. I don't think she'll have much problem in rebutting that, because her whole record is one of a supporter of the rule of law, and I think she'll have a credible record in that respect.
Now, Brendan, you're a professor of political science, not a bookie, but what is your estimate of what might happen in 100 days' time?
I think it will decisively depend on the campaigning in the swing states. And my own home state of Pennsylvania looks like it is the absolutely pivotal state. That might be an argument for choosing Josh Shapiro, the current governor of Pennsylvania. The only problem with picking him is he's very ardently pro-Israel, and the young among the Democratic Party have become increasingly critical of Israel. There's no doubt that Harris and whoever she appoints will defend the right of Israel to exist and will argue for a two-state solution. But I think if she wants to recover small parts of the base, and in particular to invigorate the young, she and her nominee will have to be tough on the existing Israeli government led by Benjamin Netanyahu. So Pennsylvania is very important. Arizona is important. Michigan's important. I think she has a very interesting chance in Georgia, Nevada, and Nevada, where the population tends to be younger and not white in greater numbers than they are elsewhere in the United States. So it's possible that her campaign, provided that they can enthuse the base and get people knocking on doors, as she said, that they will bring the margin of victory home. It's going to be extremely tight. I think she has more than a fighting chance of winning.
Brendan O'Leary, Professor of Political Science at the University of Pennsylvania, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.